When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that holds these bussies to be self-evident.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay.
Okay.
That's the declaration of in dem pants. No, I don't know what I'm saying.
I like that.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, this ought to be fun.
Oh god. We're going to talk about otters.
This has been on, we'll talk more about the how we got here and why it took us so long. but first this happens a lot, Kyle.
What does?
We're out of stuff to talk about, so you know, like top of the show stuff, so the news comes real fast.
Mike, how are you doing?
Oh god, I'm getting over COVID, so like my brain is all kinds of weird.
Okay.
I've got the dizzy COVID.
You've got the dizzy COVID? You're sitting down. If you fall over, I'm going to call the police or something.
Yeah. I think you're the only person that has keys to my place that doesn't live here. So.
Okay. Okay. I've got my eye on you.
Okay, great. Well,
you only need to have your shit together for like an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. And really, I don't even know if I need to hit that together for this.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kyle, for stalling.
No problem. It's stalling or catching up.
Oh, well, no. If we were catching up, I'd be like, how are you?
Oh, yeah, but you don't care about that. That's fine. That's fine.
It just wasn't the purpose. You know?
It wasn't the purpose.
But now I do want to know, because other people might want to know.
My big news is I'm starting TMS, aka brain magnets, again. So I just got my first zippy zap today. And before one of the side effects was that I was really exhausted after sessions. So far I'm doing okay, but we'll have to see if that picks up once I start going. So if I fall asleep, I may fall asleep in the middle of this recording. Just a warning. Great. We're in tip top shape, Mike.
Great. Same. We're both crushing it.
Yep.
Well, with that, Ben, here's the news.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News, news, news.
Jesus Christ, Kyle.
Yeah.
News the first. Speaking of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
The United Methodist Church has overturned its 40-year ban on gay clergy.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they had a big old meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they fought and they fought and they fought and then they fought some more. And ultimately they decided in a 692-51 vote.
Oh, wow.
To overturn both its ban on gay clergy, penalties for holding same-sex marriages. That's it. Just those two things. I mean, they did a whole bunch of stuff, right? Like they got together and they voted on a bunch of church stuff. But like the stuff that we care about, the gay shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can be queer and be a member of the clergy now in the Methodist Church. And they had been holding same-sex marriages for a long, long time, but that was technically speaking against church law and could result in penalties if they were found out and like a church prosecuted. I don't know how that works, but
that's a different Law and Order. Church crimes.
Law and Order, Cross VU. Let's see. So one of they had this whole long conversation about whether they were going to split into two churches, the one that was okay with the gays and the one that wasn't.
But
they decided to be it's United Methodist Church. It's right there in the name. They decided to be united. So they had banned clergy members who were, quote, self-avowed practicing homosexuals.
I like to think of myself as a practicing homosexual. I practice it a lot. I'm not an expert yet, but I am practicing.
Right. Well, and self-avowed. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Real gay and practicing. Anyway, the band started in 1984, which it doesn't go unnoticed that that's when the gay rights movement was really gathering steam, but also that HIV/AIDS phobia was rampant and people were being real crazy about it. Yeah. Anyway, Pastor Matt Patrick wrote in a post on X, formerly Twitter, quote, "This morning I cried because a fight I've been in for so long found justice. We're no longer saying that being gay is a sin and no longer ban LGBTQ from serving as ministers. Praise be to God."
Cried. What a little homo.
Right. Oh, God. Okay. News the second.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's do this one. So this last week on Wednesday evening, the Utah Public Auditor released a form encouraging people to report trans individuals encountered in changing rooms and restrooms to state authorities.
Oh, God, what a dicey road, because whenever you are supposed to try to tell by looking at to try to see who's trans, it also affects cis people, like women with short haircuts, for example, will start getting called trans when they're really not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so this is an online form titled, quote, "Alleged Government Violations of Utah Code 63G Chapter 31 Distinctions Based on Sex." There was a law enacted earlier this year that bans trans people from using restrooms that match their gender identity in schools, as well as locker rooms and similar facilities in public buildings across the state of Utah, including the fucking Salt Lake City airport, apparently. So one major question during the debate of the bill was over how the bill was going to be enforced. And so they decided that the best way was to set up a web form and collect reports from vigilantes.
Yeah.
Apparently, first of all, zero credible reports have been filed in the last however many days, 4 or 5 days. But one person submitted a report of beavers in their bathroom. Another one posted a picture from the Bee Movie, which apparently is a common thing that when states or other jurisdictions put up these kinds of sites targeting trans people, B movie and the script of B movie has become a thing that they spam these websites with. So it's like it's a thing that they like to use. Now, I don't think I necessarily agree with the method here, but one person reported Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders as a trans person, trying to illustrate the point that you were just making, which is cis people get reported as trans all the time. Just this last February, a similar thing happened in Indiana, and Attorney General Todd Rokita released a similar snitch line to report schools and got a whole bunch of copies of a picture of Godzilla holding a trans flag and several B-movie scripts as well. Anyway, it just...
Wouldn't you have to try to throw them off from... Wouldn't you have to submit something that looks credible at first? Like, anytime I got a B-movie script, I would just delete it. Is the point that they would be inundated with so many submissions of the B-movie script that you can't actually find the real ones?
Well, so first, it's just a way to be creative, I think. Sometimes the internet is a way for people to be funny. Mm-hmm. But also, maybe it's an attempt at a DDoS attack, right?
Oh, okay. They're trying to like take down their something.
Yeah, distributed denial of service. Like if it's just accepting giant images and a whole bunch of scripts and the service isn't set up in a way to accept that kind of load. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. Anyway, it's just really, 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 really stupid. And Ari Drennan of Media Matters, who is a trans activist that watches these kinds of things, said that the site is already seeing glitches and errors, maybe from the number of people flooding the forum with memes. And I don't know, maybe we can post the URL somewhere. People are so inspired. And then news the last. Yeah, she who should not be named, but I'm going to say her name, J.K. Rowling, is in some kind of weird snit as usual about trans people. She's just been a real bitch about the whole thing. But she was pinned down on X on April 6th, giving what her definition of a woman is. And she says, quote, "I believe a woman is a human being who belongs to the sex class that produces large gametes. It's irrelevant whether or not her gametes have ever been fertilized." And so basically, like, if you make eggs, you're a woman. That's mm-hmm. There's no other way to interpret that. Guess who replied yesterday?
Who?
Elon fucking Musk replied to that.
Oh, great. Let's get him in on the convo.
Yeah. And he said, "While I heartily agree with your points regarding sex and gender, may I suggest also posting interesting and positive content on other matters?"
Even Elon Musk is like tired of the TERF bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Elon Musk is like, great. We get it. You're mad at trans people. Please shut up. Like when known transphobe dickbag fuckface asshole who's trans kid wants nothing to do with him is the one who's like, maybe we should move on.
Yeah.
Take a hint.
Yeah. It's like, that's all X is known for now is like, it's for porn and TERFs.
Yeah. Although Threads is not much better, at least the couple of times that I've dipped my toe into that cesspool. Basically, the internet is terrible, especially to trans people.
Yeah.
Well, that's the news.
On that note, speaking of people that are not terrible, I want to thank the new Patreon members, Jerome Gollum.
Nailed it.
Boy, I have no idea if I got that right. Troy Jones. Pretty sure.
Yep. Although, wait, I think you said an easy one last week that sounded like that. Is this a repeat?
Oh, is this a repeat?
Are you just going to say Troy Jones every week?
And yes, Troy Jones is going to be my gimme every single week.
Great. I don't know if you did or not.
Okay. Laura Beck.
Okay.
Again, easy. Yeah. John Ginetti. And Devin Daniels.
Ooh, that's a poor name.
It is, Devin. We also special shout out to the other Derek for updating his name to the other Derek per our feedback last time when we mentioned his name.
What power we yield.
I know. We can make you change your Patreon names. Thanks. If you want bonus episodes ad-free and a day early, nope. If you want regular episodes ad-free and a day early, and you want bonus episodes and bonus content and me to say your name and to come to Patreon happy hours and a lot of other really cool bonus content, then go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Do it.
Do it.
Do you want to talk about otters?
Let's talk about otters.
So this is like, it's been on the list for a long, long, long ass time.
Yes, it has. I think it's Derek has been requesting that we do this for a little bit.
So known secret otter, Derek.
Sea otter?
who works for us.
Yep.
We're going to interview him for the Patreon segment.
Yeah.
And talk about everything wrapped up in otter identity.
Yep.
And what are the otter politics of the day?
Ooh, yeah, it'll be fun to get real life updates from a real life otter.
When he floats on his back, does he try to hold hands with whoever's next to him? We'll find out.
Yeah. Cute.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Is this the last on the nose? Why the fuck haven't we talked about it yet? Topic. Like, I think we covered lots and lots and lots of them, right?
We have not done gay voice yet, and that's another on the nose why haven't we done it topic.
I mean gay identities. Like, I think we're through like the initial wheelhouse, I think.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who we've done. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we now know otters come last.
But they come eventually.
But they eventually they come. All right. We have this like document where we keep track of all of our ideas and, mm-hmm. and like, this has been on there for literally like 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been sitting there. So hopefully we do it justice.
Not going to. Not in this state.
Not going to. Kyle. No.
Okay. Well, let's talk about otters.
Okay.
Human otters, not bio otters, which I've heard the pup community say bio pup like humans aren't alive.
Bio because like biologically a dog.
Okay.
Bio dog is biologically a dog.
All right.
Whereas well, humans are not biologically dogs.
Allegedly. Okay. It's fine. So, okay. So otters, here's the thing. Otters are part of this like gay taxonomy. And I've talked about it before on the show, but I really wanted to revisit it because like, it feels like, what are you? What kind of gay are you? Is like one of the very first questions that you get asked when you come out or when there's a hot new celebrity. Everybody tries to put them in a box. What are those boxes and where did they come from? And this is one of those weird things where we actually know, sort of. So on July 26th of 1979, an article called Who's Who at the Zoo was in The Advocate. Yes, that The Advocate. There was a longtime Advocate cartoonist named Gerard Donnellan who tried to canonize all of the different kinds of gay and how they related to the animal kingdom. So there had always been classifications of butch and femme. These things had been around for a really long time, but enough people in the San Francisco Bay Area especially had started to use these animal names for different kinds of gays that The Advocate picked up on it and did this like picture book of here's what all of them are. And I really, looking through it, I guess I have some feelings because the only one that has survived to this day is bear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important because almost everybody who's studied it says that otters are just an offshoot of bear. And we're going to talk about our bears and otters the same later. But initially, the illustration of the bear in the Advocate article from 79 is not a large looking figure. Like bears sort of imply a certain size of human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the bear in this picture has a big old mustache, but is really pretty thin body type. And all of them had like general characteristics, what they eat, mating peculiarities, natural habitat, and domestic rating in this article. But the general characteristics for bear was just hair. It wasn't hair and size. It wasn't hair and weight. It was just hair, and that bears laugh a lot and are generally good natured.
That's kind of adorable.
It's kind of adorable. Although it did say that what they eat is beer.
Which, fish it right out of the river.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But so the other options were owls, cygnet swans, peaks and afghans, gazelles, pussycats, and marmosets. And again, bear is the only one from that list that it seems to have survived to modern day. But what is not in there is otter.
Right.
So as near as I can tell, so moving forward, there were similar like attempts to categorize everybody in the gay community. But one that I could find that's like early-ish or earlier was December 18th of 2012 in The Village Voice, New York's alternative newspaper from Greenwich Village. And it was called Bears versus Otters versus Wolves. Here's the rundown.
Hmm.
And tried to break down those things. By that time, it says bears are chubby, hairy, masculine gay males who like beer and flannel shirts. Cubs are basically young bears. Otters are slimmer and less hairy bear admirers. So,
oh,
yeah, yeah. So, and wolves are bears that are more aggressive and overtly masculine.
Rawr.
Rawr. And then it says, as long as we're indulging in gay nature lingo, though, I wonder what a wolverine is.
Hmm.
Did you hear that Hugh Jackman might be gay?
I've heard that a bunch. Yes.
But like gay Twitter was a flutter, like,
oh, this is a recent thing.
Like 2 weeks ago, saying that he was like for sure banging that boy. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I haven't followed up on it. I just basically, whatever my boyfriend tells me, I believe. okay. So by 2012, otters and bears have split into this thing, but there is this tie that otters are slimmer and less hairy bear admirers. And not sure when otters became a thing, but that's where it evolved to by 2012.
I read a bunch of things that had definitions, and nothing in what I read said bear admirers. That's a new one to me of like trying to define an otter.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the Village Voice thinks so. Or at least
I mean, they're the experts, not me.
Michael Musto of the Village Voice thinks so. Then there was also in 2013, just after that, there was a series of posters that was made for Pride that looks sort of like, I don't know, tarot cards, but it was the bear, the otter, the twink, the twunk, the drag queen, and the butch. And they were $18 each, and the proceeds went to Think Before You Speak campaign, which supported LGBT teens. It was in 2013, and the otter one, if I can get it to load.
Load that otter.
Lean build with a layer of scruff, laid back and never too serious. Is that a sweater or is that just his chest?
The level of hair seems inconsistent on these definitions. Well, is it less hairy or is it so hairy it looks like a sweater?
Well, and not just less hairy than bears is
right.
But yeah, exactly. You're right. How much hair is necessary to be considered an otter? There is a huge spike on Google Trends in 2016 for reasons that I do not understand, except I think that's when Looking came out. And there's some conjecture that maybe that's, Looking was 2014, but that a lot of gay terms were popularized by that show being on HBO. That's what I've got though. Like otters have now turned into a tribe on Grindr, which is great, and just means skinny, hairy dudes. At least that's how I understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe I will read on LGBTQIA.wiki/wiki/otter is a big, long definition of what an otter is. And I wrote down anything that like describes what they are.
Okay.
So maybe I'll read through some of those.
They say this sounds like a definitive source, Kyle. This sounds like experts.
I would hope that the LGBTQIA.wiki is a good source, but we'll see. I'm going to read this and we can see how much we agree with.
All right.
It says it blends the physical and social traits of bears and twinks.
Okay.
Which I could see somewhere between bear and twink. I could see that being an otter.
But like not between them, but across of them.
What's the difference?
It's not like there's a slider and on one end is twink and one end is bear and you just like slide it and it's somewhere in the middle is otter. I think it's like specific thing. I don't know. Maybe not. Like, I don't think that like otters eat more than twinks or like,
I mean, the stereotypes of twinks are that they don't eat at all. So I think they do eat more than twinks.
Okay. All right.
Isn't that the stereotype?
Maybe yeah. But I also think otters don't eat.
Oh.
And one's sitting right here listening to us. So
in the definition, it said they both invoke and defy traditional masculinity, which that was a theme of like that doesn't really help define anything because I think that's just everyone. You have some and don't have some masculine traits. Like, isn't that just everyone in the world?
Yeah. And okay, I'll go all Elon JK on you. Uh-oh. And like in a world where we equate gender with sex, which we shouldn't, but if we do, like the Y chromosome makes hairy happen. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like hair and size, two of the things that like the Y chromosome does to people, seem associated with masculinity. And the hair part for sure means otters. So, but the size part doesn't? I don't know.
Yeah, so yeah, this interesting combination of having some masculine qualities and not others seems to be was a common theme in the definition. It said, while otter culture tends towards the masculine, it isn't as masculine dominated as bear culture. It described them as average build with a fair amount of body hair. It says, again, they usually dress in a way that combines traditional masculinity with a subversion of it. So again, like this has some masculine qualities and some defying masculine qualities seem to keep coming up. It described them as casual, frequently considered to be laid back. It said that they were almost always welcome in bear-centric spaces, despite their differences. It said they were calm.
Is that true?
I think so.
First of all, I'm kind of blown away with the idea of otter culture, because some part of me thinks of otters as being like lone wolves or something. Like, they don't travel in packs. Like, but
too much competition.
But the idea that an otter could navigate a bear space more effectively than a non-otter that wasn't a bear is interesting to me.
I think otters are. Yeah, I think otters are included in bear culture and bear spaces.
Okay. All right.
Just like cubs are a different offshoot, but are also included in bear spaces.
Okay. Okay.
Calm, laid back, and casual, occasionally compared to the guy next door stereotype. And then finally, fairly common for an otter to become a bear as he ages, particularly as the physical aging of men and others with testosterone dominant bodies tends to bring them in line with the body type expected of bears. So an otter might just be a bear in training.
I feel that, sort of. My brain is not great. Okay. It's like twinks and cubs and otters are for the young, but bear is forever. I do think that less so than twink and cub, I think an otter can age out also. Like I don't associate, like, you either become a bear or a daddy. I don't think you can maintain your otterness into your 60s.
That's all true. Right? Yeah, twink, otter, and cub all have like a youthful quality to it.
Or at least an overtone, yeah.
Yeah. Which, okay. The actual definition of what an otter is, I think, is kind of nebulous and hard to completely nail down. Because, like, I think just like we said with twinks, like, any one quality we give it as a descriptor, you could probably come up with a counterexample that's like, nope, this person isn't this thing, but still counts as a twink. I feel like otters are like that too. Like any way you try to describe them, you could probably find someone that is an otter and doesn't meet that specific criteria. So we're just giving very like vague generalizations for now.
And like all generalizations, I think that it's probably not okay to thrust that label on someone else. Like it's something like you have to self-identify. Do not ask somebody if they're pregnant unless you see a baby coming out of them. Right. Like, don't assume somebody's an otter unless they say they are one.
Yep, absolutely.
Or absolutely. A bear, or a twink, or a jock, or a gym bunny, or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that was more just definitions. Can I get into some of the gaita?
I hope you do. There's otter gaita? That's interesting.
Well, all I did was I could only find three studies that mention otters at all. So I want to tell you about those three studies. Okay. There's not much tangible gaita. I just wanted to tell you about what kinds of context that they come up in.
These are human otters.
These are human otters. Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep. There were other studies that mentioned bio otters, but you know. The first one I found it in was a study called Physical, Behavioral, and Psychological Traits of Gay Men Identifying as Bears by David M. Moskowitz, Jonathan Turberchi, Hector Lozano, and Christopher Hijack in 2013 in Archives of Sexual Behavior. And it said, there are many different subdivisions within the bear community. Men are categorized primarily by their hairiness, but also by their weight, age, and ethnicity. and it gave a list of divisions within the bear community.
Oh, and this sounds bad.
This is the list. There's grizzly bears who are white, hairy, and heavier men.
Wait, what went out of polar bear?
There are polar bears, which are older men with graying or white hair.
Oh, okay.
There are cubs, which are younger, hairy men.
But doesn't that imply like smaller to you also?
Yeah, maybe a little less hair or a little smaller.
I used to think of them as being like a boo-boo to the yogi.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. There's big teddy bears, which I don't think of that as a separate category, but it defined them as men who are hairy yet heavier than grizzly bears.
Okay.
There are otters, men who are hairy but thin, was their definition.
Okay. Okay. Not just smaller than, but thin.
Like thin. That's, yep. Yeah. Which is, that's where, if you want to think of them as like a cross between bears and twinks, the thin part is what they pick up from the twinks and the hair is what they pick up from the bears.
I do think also, going back to the teddy bears, going back to teddy bears, there are some bears who are just like big, happy, want to hug them types. And there are bears that are terrifying.
Like drag queens.
Just like drag queens.
Yeah.
Although, do not hug a drag queen ever. Yeah, that's true. No matter how nice she is, you're going to fuck up her makeup and that's going to get you a shoe to the face.
Yeah. Other classifications that encompass ethnic variations are...
Oh no, Kyle.
I know. This study said black bears, hairy men of color.
Okay, that's a little on the nose.
And then this one, I don't know. Panda bears, hairy Kyle. Asian or Pacific Island men.
Oh no.
I don't know if you should... Like, this is, again, like, don't call someone this unless they self-define that way.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
So what it said directly after giving all of these kind of divisions of within the bear community, it said, despite physical differences within the bear community, most men subscribe to a shared identity. Masculinity is praised and therefore celebrated within the community.
Hmm.
And then it said, quote, there is a dearth of general research regarding this community and no studies to date that use quantitative methods. So there aren't even that many studies about bears, much less just studies plainly about otters.
Well, okay. And for all of those nebulous reasons that we were talking about, can you empirically study a difficult to define population?
Well, I think then you just use self-definitions. That would be interesting to find out who defines themselves as an otter and what are their characteristics. You know, like, if you call yourself an otter, what's the average age of that person? Like, what's the average hairiness of that person? What's the average like race of that person? You know, I think it'd be fun to like work backwards.
I wonder, is there a objective way to measure hairiness? That's interesting. Like, is there a hairometer that you can?
Yes, the hairometer scale. They have a hairy quiz. Okay, the second study that I found that mentioned otters was called Assessing Bear Cub Otter Identity and History with Cardiovascular Disease Among Gay, Bisexual, and Other Men Who Have Sex with Men in Metro Vancouver. Mm. And this study is by a whole host of people.
I'm assuming Canada and not the shitty one.
Canada and not the shitty one. I will assume that because I don't have that written down anywhere. But this came out in 2021 in the Canadian Journal of Human Sexuality. So they, in Metro Vancouver, they looked at men who have sex with men, and the percentage that identified as bear/cub/otter is 21.3%.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
I then, taking my own assumptions, I assume there's more bears than there are otters.
I think that's... I would agree without like any, I have no data, but yes, I'm with you.
So if we said that half of them are bears, that leaves 10% or less that would identify as otters. So,
or cubs. Are you calling cubs bears?
No, but I don't know. I don't have any felt sense of how many cubs versus otters there are. I just felt like a majority were probably bears. So that's the only way I could like in myself try to get down to a more specific number. Less than 10%. My guess is less than 10% of the community identifies as an otter.
I think that's probably safe. Actually, now that I like kind of sit on the number a little bit, nice. That's a nice number. Get in there. 20% seems high. Like, we've gotten feedback or at least anecdotal evidence that like a lot of people don't feel like they belong to any of these tribes. And in fact, it can be distressing for some people that they don't know which box they're supposed to be in. Which, girl, don't be in a box, then it's fine.
Yeah.
And like it can be alienating, especially I think when you first come out. But 20% seems high to me.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a fifth. Yeah, we should say this. I know we've said it before, but it's worth repeating. Just what you said is like, a lot of times there are all these categories, but I've seen things that say like most people don't put themselves into a specific category that don't have. So it is okay to not feel like you fit in with a twink or bear or cub or otter or, you know, whatever else people might define themselves as. And actually a lot of people also don't fit into these predefined boxes.
I mean, I do think that, like, especially when we first come out, we have just such a deep sense of like a need to belong and a desire to find community. And I do think that some of these things can provide a shorthand for community. And maybe that's driving a lot of the appeal. Like, I don't know. I do think that people do get a lot of community out of an identity like that.
And yeah. Like leather, I know, also is like, they have a strong sense of community. It helps them feel like they fit in. There are like, you know, it's a little bit more structured. There are events and rules and stuff that you follow. So it can, I agree. I think it can help get you a feeling of a very direct feeling of community right away. Just like I think bears can, you know, going to bear events, bear culture can make you feel like you have a community right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think it can make you feel like when you don't realize that a lot of people don't fit into any of these identities, I think when you see all of these identities, when you first come out, it can make you feel a little alienated because you're like, oh, what am I? I don't know. Okay. Do I have to pick one of these? And what am I? And it can make you feel like you don't really belong when really you don't have to.
Right. You don't have to.
The third thing that I found was a book. So I could find no actual like specifics on what it said. All I know, this was the Bear Book 2.
Oh, great.
So there was enough information on bears. Yeah. That we needed a sequel.
Is there a cliffhanger?
Yeah. Does the bear fall in love or not? Cause
like, he probably like was about to fall in love and then, oh, I have to hibernate.
Yeah. What happened
when he came back? When he woke up, he didn't like his love interest was gone. So now he's got to search and find them and there'll be clues and a whole. Anyway, okay, go ahead.
What a compelling bear story.
Yeah.
This is a book by Les Wright, came out in 2001. And chapter 4 was called By Any Otter Name, The Negative Space of the Bear.
Sure. The negative space of the bear?
Yeah. I wish I knew more about what that meant. But again, I'm not going to buy this fucking book and read it just for this one podcast. So sorry.
Yeah.
All I know is that bears and otters are always mentioned within the same breath, particularly in studies that do mention otters.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, there's some evidence to suggest that like it's a newer term. Like, it's reached critical mass. It's out there. People know it. People use it. But I think maybe it's going to take a little longer for otters to find their way.
For them to get their own studies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's start studying trans people first before we study otters. If we're going to really pick one community to one understudied community to go after.
Yep. Yep. I have a punchline, but no joke.
Okay. Great.
I desperately want to say otomatopoeia. I don't know what it means.
I like it.
Great. Okay.
If you have the beginning of this joke, text it into us.
Yeah. 5855 gayish.
Standard rate supply.
Standard rate supply. Okay, Kyle.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
I can't not talk about real otters.
Sure.
Bio otters.
Okay, let's do it.
Were you done with the gaita?
I was done with the gaita, yeah.
Okay. Your face said maybe done with the gaita.
Oh, yeah. Good social cue picking up on.
Yeah. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the interesting stuff to pull out of here, though? Okay, so first of all, the word otter. I love me some etymology, Kyle. It comes from otor or oter in Old English, which comes from the same Proto-Indo-European root word as the word water. So otter and water come from the same place.
Cool.
Because that's where they belong, in rivers and streams and lakes and seas.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what an otter's house is called, where they make their home?
This sounds like an onomatopoeia. This sounds like the setup to a joke.
It's onomatopoeia. An otter's den is called a holt, like Lester Holt or that hot boy from the X-Men, or a couch. They also call it a couch.
Oh.
So if you're looking for otters, check the couch.
Check the couch. Oh, I might be an otter then.
Maybe. Male otters are called dogs or boars.
Hmm.
Females are called bitches or sows.
Oh, bitches.
Their offspring are called pups or cubs.
Cute.
Then there's a bunch of fun collective nouns, you know, like murder of crows and all of that shit. The ones for otters are bevy.
That's a good one.
Family.
Oh.
Lodge. Or my favorite, a romp.
A romp of otters?
A romp of otters.
That is a good way to describe like a group of like an otter gathering, like a human otter gathering, to describe a group of otters as a romp of otters is really good. So
despite saying earlier I didn't think that they traveled in packs, now I want to encounter a romp of otters.
A romp of otters, of course.
So that I can announce to them that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you can't call someone an otter without them identifying themselves as one.
Yep.
So now I need to find a group of otters who then says, we're otters. So I could say, you're a romp.
Yeah, that's a long way to go just to call them a romp.
But one day my chance will come. It's going to be so worth it. Also, apparently some people call otters that are in water, a group of them is a raft.
Oh, okay.
A raft of otters. Yeah. Because when otters sleep, they hold hands so that they can't cheat on each other. So otter poop is called a spraint.
Okay. I didn't know we had to have specific names for the poop of different animals.
I didn't either, but like apparently otter poop is has a distinctive smell that's been described as freshly mown hay or putrefied fish. Yeah. And then just a couple of queer, like sort of associations, I guess. Norse mythology talked of, there's a dwarf named Oter who was a shapeshifter and could take any shape that he wanted to. And he did. In fact, some people would take issue with calling him a he, but usually resembled being a dwarf, but also loved turning into an otter. And it's just interesting that like, I don't know, like if you could take any form at all, you would like, would you pick otter and just eat a whole bunch of fish?
I might pick unicorn.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. So in a lot of Norse mythology sources, all dwarfs are male, which is gay as fuck.
Why is that gay?
Because it's all dudes. Like Snow White. Do you really think all of them were like into her?
Sleepy.
I don't think so. Yeah.
He's sleepy for that dick.
Yeah. And then in Irish mythology, I just thought this was adorable. There's a character named Liban, and she was turned into a mermaid that was half human and half salmon, and given 300 years of life to roam the oceans. And to keep her company, her dog turned into an otter and shared her wanderings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not gay. I just thought it was adorable.
Okay. It is sweet.
And in Korean mythology, apparently, if you see an otter, it means that you will attract rain clouds for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life?
So that's, I think that's why there's so many otters in Seattle.
Wow. That's a, it's a quite the lifetime burden.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. That's just some stuff about real otters, Kyle.
Okay.
You said you had some stuff about real otters too.
Speaking of stuff about real otters, I read a Vox article by Dylan Matthews that was called The Case Against Otters. Necrophiliac serial killing fur monsters of the sea. They rape baby seals and hold each other's pups hostage for food.
Now we're talking.
So
this is the drama I wanted, Kyle.
There are some pros to otters, and that is like the, you know, they hold each other's hands, they juggle rocks, they baby otters that are raised in captivity, when they're first introduced for water, they squeak. Mm-hmm. So there are some pro things. What?
Oh my God. And they do gay stuff.
And they do gay stuff.
I forgot to mention that. There's a list. This dude wrote this whole book that was just a list of like animals that fuck other animals of the same gender. And otter was on it.
Oh, nice. So otters are gay for at least two reasons. Mm-hmm. But the cons to real otters is they attack humans.
Well, I mean, we kind of suck.
That's true. I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm just saying it happens.
Yep. Okay.
They kill other animals. Apparently, they have been seen.
We eat them. We kill them and eat them.
So what you were saying that we're just as bad as otters?
Maybe.
Well, the next one is they're necrophiliac.
Okay. Well, they're less likely to do that.
Yeah. They've been seen copulating with dead carcasses. Hmm. Male otters sometimes hold pups ransom to force their mothers to give up some of their food.
I did read that male otters only hang out with other male otters until it's time to fuck.
Oh, see, it's opposite for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And lastly, 70% of otters tested positive for swine flu.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
So they carry swine flu. So otters seem all cute, but just know there are some more murderous, necrophiliac kind of avenues that otters can go down.
I mean, really, the worst thing is the necrophilia. If you can get past that,
the rest isn't so bad.
The rest isn't so bad.
Yeah.
They do make terrible pets. I did hear that.
Okay. That's good to know.
So do gay otters. So
depends on which one you get.
Yeah.
You got to foster them at a young age so that you can housebreak them.
They have to imprint on you.
Yes.
So that they don't want to eat your face.
Yeah. Can I read you two quotes from otters, from human otters?
Okay.
This is from a Pink News article by Danny Polaris called "What is an Otter? The Gay Tribe for Lean Guys with a Bit of Scruff."
Hmm. Okay.
And the first quote is from Joel Olson, a self-proclaimed otter who started otterj.com.
Otterj.com?
I don't know what that is, but that's apparently an otter community.
It's just the letter J? Or
just the letter J, yep.
J-A-Y.
Nope, just the letter J.
Okay. Oh. Oh, my.
What?
Just the very first, like, went to otterj.com and it redirected, but when it got done redirecting, it was just a hairy torso.
Hmm. Hmm. A sexy one?
Yeah. Yeah. I did that. I'd lay on top of that.
Josh said, quote, "Some people see it as a slimmer variation of the bear community, but in practice, it seems to be as much about style and aesthetic as the body itself. An otter is like the guy next door, but with an edge. Otters are the guy next door that has grown up a bit. They've become more sexually adventurous and experienced. Furthermore, the fact that they're no longer pruning their body hair to such an extent may imply that they're just more comfortable in their own skin, in their own body, and with their personal level of hairiness." And Gareth, a self-proclaimed otter living in Berlin, said, I would classify myself as an otter since I'm hairy in all the right places, apparently masculine and skinnier than a cub or a bear. I prefer to think of my build as slender anyways, though. I'm a slender gender bender. Being an otter is somehow entirely a phase. Lots of men grow old and maybe get a bit broader around the waist, but where's the threshold between being an otter and a bear? Is it in the size of your waist, or is it in your age after all? I've never really understood that personally. Anyway, I'm classified as an otter and I can't even swim properly. So that's really funny. I do personally find guys with a bit of scruff to be more attractive. It's just a personal taste. However, I've also had partners who would be classified as twinks as well as proper fully fledged daddies. I haven't got a massively hairy chest, but I do have a really hairy ass and a nice full beard, and I like that a lot. On my body, it's all very all natural. I don't spend so much time grooming, and that's absolutely perfect for me.
You know, you're making me realize or think the 90s, I think of like hairless bodies. Mm-hmm. Everyone's super clean shaven. That was the ideal that was being presented. And that's definitely shifted, right? Like facial hair has been a thing now for a while. And I think that like trimmed instead of shaved, if taken care of at all, is more the norm. And I wonder if that's like, if the rise of the otter is just from the shifting societal acceptance of body hair.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that this also introduced the idea of like people that are a little bit more confident in their own bodies and their own hair. And I wonder if those two things go hand in hand, societal acceptance and more confidence in your own body hair.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I fit into any of these? I don't know if I'm like, it just talks about hairy as like bears and otters.
Well,
part of their definition. So I don't know if I'm like fit into one of these communities by definition.
So interestingly enough, I don't know where this is coming from, but I think you're too tall to be an otter. I think that there's a maximum height for otter and you are past it. And I don't know where that's coming from, but like it is a thing for me.
When I was asking one of my friends to, if he could define otters, a gay friend, he said longer torso was in his definition.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't really feel like I fit into any of these communities.
Yeah. Well, and then there's like, what do you self-identify as? What would you fit in with if you were to like try to hang out? Where would you be accepted?
Yeah.
And that's all. It's tricky, man.
Yeah. I don't know where I belong, Mike.
Right here.
Right here, right now.
Well, now you got to put that on the list.
What's that song called?
I don't know.
We can figure out later. Or you're going to do it now.
I'm going to do it now. Oh, it's Jesus Jones. Right here, right now, but Jesus Jones. Oh. Watching the world wake up from history and be okay with hair. I don't know, Kyle. I never felt like I fit into any of them either. And I think I'm just okay with that.
Yeah.
Although lately, the daddy thing, but there's no daddy community. We're all too busy hunting twinks. So
do you self-identify as a daddy? Like on your profile, would you put group daddy?
No, but I do. Wait, maybe I have. Hold on. but I do have that daddy t-shirt that you gave me. It is like front and center in a couple of my app profiles. I know that that was a selling point for boyfriend too.
So you're like,
it's on my tags, Kyle.
Wow, Mike, you do self-identify as a daddy, but just didn't realize it.
My tags: cuddling, clean cut, daddy, gaming, oral, nipples, edging, kissing.
Wow, is this on Grindr?
Yeah. I guess I am, Kyle. I've arrived.
I always put guy next door, which when this described otters as the guy next door, I was like, huh.
I think guy next door works for you. I really do.
Thanks.
Yeah. And because you're nice, which it's all a facade, but it's
people assume that I'm very clean cut and and very nice, which is how I try to make people think that I am.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Did we do it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that, like, I mean, no, but like, it's hard to pinpoint an exact definition of an otter, and you should mostly leave it to people to define themselves.
Yeah. And one thing that we didn't really go over is how to tell the difference, because I don't think there is one, between otters and like wolves and foxes. And like, I've heard other animal terms that are all in the like, not as big as a bear, but equally hairy. And werewolf implies like bodybuilder build, but the other ones, there's a lot of overlap, I think.
I've never heard, is werewolf a subcategory of gay men?
Like, maybe just in the circles I run? I don't know.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Oh, okay. Well, you heard it here first, kids.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Well,
all right.
Let us know. What does otter mean to you in your heart, dear listener?
What does your heart otter song sing?
what kind of noise do otters make? Is it like a woodchuck? So one of those.
Oh, I don't know.
Huh? Okay. Anyway. All right. Well, you want to take a break then?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a break.
Okay. Let's take a break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We are on socials at Gayish Podcast, or you can go find out all of our communities like Discord and the Facebook group at gayishpodcast.com/contact.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
Our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109. God, I need to go check out. If somebody sent us an otter, it's dead.
Oh, little dead baby. Hey, everyone. We were recently on another podcast. We were on the Queer Voices podcast.
Yeah, we were.
So if you want to hear more of us, go to the Queer Voices podcast. And it is, as of right now, the latest one, the latest episode.
It's do it. Listen.
Yeah. Check it out. Take a listen. Go download.
Did we already tell everybody about PopCon?
Yeah, we did.
Great. We still can
say
won.
It again. We still are winners.
we're twofers. We're going to go for a three-peat this year.
Yeah.
All right. Is it time for a gayest and straightest then?
Yeah. Let's do our gayest and straightest.
All right, I'll go first, and then okay. I'll fall asleep.
Okay. Good call.
The straightest thing about me this week is having COVID and being at home and just not showering, stinking, smelling real bad, and eating pizza three nights in a row.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm a real piece of work, Kyle. And then the gayest thing about me this week is doing laundry in preparation for boyfriend's return. He went home to visit his family. And doing a load of towels, and oh my God, the number of crusty jizz towels that were at the bottom of that hamper.
Oh no, Mike.
Gay as hell.
You could probably sell those on the internet for like $50.
Patreon.com/gayish.
Gayish podcast.
Yep.
Well, my straightest is instead of doing my hair this weekend, I was with friends at a cabin this weekend. I also did not shower at all. So right there with you there. I did not do my hair even once. And when I had to go out in public, I just put on a backwards hat.
Yeah. You were your own sex symbol.
Yeah. And my gayest is when I had control of the music, putting on my Britney playlist.
Nice. Yeah. What'd everybody think?
Everyone was jamming out to all the songs, so I think they were into it.
Every single cut, I'm sure.
Every single one.
You don't play any weird, obscure Britney songs that nobody knows ever.
This was the popular ones.
Oh, okay.
So most people knew most of them.
Okay. Great. We have a listener's gayest or straightest this week. It is in a voicemail.
So just listen.
Hey, Mike, Kyle, and Derek. This is Raph from Philadelphia, calling in with my gayest or straightest week. My gayest is realizing that I've been listening to the back catalog for almost a year and a half now. And the saddest part is that I only have 7 more episodes to catch up. So I have a week's worth of listening to you guys every day. So that's going to be a bummer. And then my straightest is detailing my car on Easter Sunday instead of preparing for a barbecue that I had posting. So, gayest and straightest. Later, guys. Love you. Awesome podcast.
Well, thanks for all the hits to the back catalog. We always appreciate that.
Yeah, that helps our numbers. Keep listening. Go through them all again.
Yeah. That's how we're going to get that three-peat.
Yep.
Detailing a car, too. That's, you know.
Yeah. Soup straight.
Caring about your car.
Mm. Butch.
Did we do it?
Yeah.
Thanks to otters everywhere, even the necrophiliac ones.
And thank you to our super gap bridgers. Thank you to Kaylee Adams, Kit Oliver, Kobe Gordon, Pip, Andrew Bugby, William Bryant, John Crowley, Yost Osel, Harry Shaw, Jonathan Montaigne, Wadu Forest, Nail, Patrick Martin, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Michael Covington, Just Jamie, Thomas B, Dusty Sands, A. Coleman, Chris Kachatorians, and Jerome York. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your money. That's it. This has been Gayish from the Chris Kachatorian Studios. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Goetz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
See you next week. Be sure to vote. COVID brain fog, Kyle. This morning, I put a packet of oatmeal in a bowl and poured boiling water on it. I did not open the packet. This is how my life is going.